السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم. اما بعد, وی ہیو بین لسننگ ٹو دس خطبہ آف نکاح فرام ٹائم امیموریل, فرام دا ٹائم دیٹ وی ور لٹل چلڈرن وین وی ڈیڈ ناٹ ایون نو ون ورڈ آف عربک. وی شو لسن ٹو دس خطبہ بیکاز آل دو وی مے ہیو بین لٹل چلڈرن بٹ وی ہیو بین اٹینڈنگ نکاح. In fact, as little children we used to imitate the people that used to make the different khutbas, or those who used to read the khutbas, different ulama performing nikahs in different places. So as little children we used to imitate them in the style in which they used to make the khutbah. So it is a khutbah which we have been listening to. But we don't take the message that is in those khutbas. If you look at it, this is the month of Ramadan. And the month of Ramadan is for taqwa. And all three ayat, all three verses, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose for the khutbah of nikah has got to do with taqwa. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, through his messenger Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is conveying a very, very important message to us, and especially to the groom and to the bride and to the both parties, because those are the people that are involved in that whole marriage ceremony. Is the girl's party, the boy's party, the groom and the bride. So there's a message there. I'm not going into any tafsir, any detailed discussion. I've been doing that all along over the years. And every nikah that takes place in this masjid, we have some bayan. If it is on a Jummah day, other days when it is on a Sunday or some other day, then I don't encourage bayans, just for one reason. And that is that people are parked. Some have just come to the masjid for namaz purposes and they want to get away. Now the bayan is taking place, they are getting agitated, irritated. Then again, after the nikah, again the mulaqat and the musafaha and the talking and everything that goes on, that poor person who just came by chance for the first time for his salat, then he gets jammed, then he might even leave the masjid and go away. So that is one of the reasons. Many other reasons also. So there we say that we don't have much bayans. But today it was an announced program, so we cut it short. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam choosing these ayat, we have a very important message, that it is only if we have taqwa in our hearts. And taqwa is not standing on one leg and reading some wazifa 100,000 times. Many times I have said that. Unfortunately, we seem to believe that taqwa is that the person must read a lot of nafil namaz. Then we say, look at what a pious person that man is. The person gives a lot of charity, then we say, very pious person. The person keeps fast whole year round, we'll say, very pious person. That is not piety. Piety, taqwa, is the fulfillment of the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala orders, whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam orders, to carry out that hukam and to restrain oneself. And that is the most important thing. The message in taqwa is restraining. Restraining oneself from everything that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are displeased with, or what they have prohibited, what they have forbidden. Then that is taqwa. So now when the person is going to be fulfilling the ahkam of Allah ta'ala as he is doing in the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, as I explained yesterday also in the Jummah Bayan, that one example I give every Ramadan, that if there is just 1 minute left before iftar time, the person with the weakest iman, we're not talking about very strong iman, the person with the weakest iman also, he is not prepared to disobey Allah Ta'ala and open his fast 1 minute before time. The person will never do that. He will say that it is the order of Allah Ta'ala that I must open my fast after the sun has set. So it is training him, disciplining him, that you must be obedient to Allah Ta'ala in all activities of life. It's not only in fasting. When it comes to our trade and transactions and business, there too we have to obey Allah Ta'ala. When it comes to borrowing and lending, there too we have to obey Allah Ta'ala. The lender must not give on interest. And the borrower must not take and then after that say it was qarz-e hasana. And they say, what is qarz-e hasana? Means hanste rehna. Take the qarz and then keep laughing and smiling. And when the person asks, then say, well, did my grandfather ever pay you that I must pay you? So that must not be the case. The person must have that same khawf of Allah Ta'ala, that same fulfillment of the ahkam of Allah Ta'ala in transactions, in business. The same when it comes to marriage, that it is not just a joke. These days marriages have become a big joke. Little children at schools are getting married. They learned how to perform khutbah and must have two witnesses, and one boy must say yes, one girl must say yes, and finish. Proposal and acceptance. And how many young boys and girls at the school, standard 5, 6, 8, 10, they are married already. Now isn't that a big joke? So we must not make joke of his marriage. Marriage is a very serious matter. It is a great responsibility that the person is taking. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that it is a sunnat. An-nikahu min sunnati. It is my way of life. Now did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam intend marriage to become a joke? It was a serious matter. Somebody once wrote some years back in one of the Muslim newspapers or magazines that we go for nikahs, then we find that the person performing the nikah is very solemn when he is performing the nikah, very serious. Whereas it's an occasion of nikah, so there should be happiness, there should be joviality, there should be merry making. You know, so why are they so serious when they're performing the nikah? So we have to understand that one is, whilst the nikah is being performed, what are we doing at that time? Are we telling stories? Are we telling jokes? At that time we are reading the khutbah of nikah, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is warning, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, ittaqullah, fear Allah. Have the khawf of Allah at heart. And that khawf also must not be out of just like how we fear animals, lions, tigers, leopards. It's not that khawf. It's the khawf which is born out of love for Allah Ta'ala. That we must not displease our beloved. And Allah Ta'ala is all powerful, almighty. He is supreme. And He can pull the carpet from beneath the feet of anyone if He wishes and desires. So He can make that marriage a successful one. He can make that marriage a happy one. He can make that marriage a prosperous one. And if the couple disobey Allah Ta'ala in that marriage, from day one, how many percentage of people who get married, they make the Fajr Salat the next day? So that Allah Ta'ala who made a woman who was totally haram, there was no way that this person could have engaged in any kind of discussion with her which was of the sensual kind. But yet Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, through this khutbah, through this nikah institution, Allah Ta'ala made them halal for each other. They become husband and wife. She gives up her home, those parents who brought her home up, and they looked after her and they nurtured her. Now they are giving her in marriage to someone. So it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system. Now this is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Mastafadal mu'min ba'da taqwa Allah. After this taqwa, fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, khawf of Allah Ta'ala. A person hasn't benefited as much from anything else except from marriage. Nikah has got so much of benefits. Then what is the reason that our marriages are not of that type, where there's happiness, there's satisfaction, there is peace, there's unity, there is consideration, there is love, there's compassion, there's sympathy, there's affection, there's tolerance, there's forgiveness? Why is it that that is missing? The reason is that we haven't studied what nikah is. As I said, that it is not a joke, it is a serious matter. And once the person takes it serious, that it is nikah, I have entered into a contract, I have entered into an agreement, It is a pledge and a promise that I am making, that I will fulfill all your rights as a husband. I will see to it that I do not violate any of your rights, even though it may go against me, or go against my parents' wishes, or go against the wishes of the entire society, but I will not violate your rights, whatever is her rights. The rights of the wife must not be violated at the expense of the rights of the parents, and the rights of the parents must not be violated at the expense of the rights of the wife. There has to be a harmony, there has to be a balance that has to be created. So the husband, by means of that signing, or that means of that acceptance of that nikah, is accepting that responsibility that I will fulfill the rights of the wife. Now, does the husband of today know what the rights of the wives are? In fact, many a times when they say, this is my right, it seems like a great surprise that has come, like a bolt out of the blue. Since when is this your right now? In the same way, the wives also. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings with regards to the rights of the husband. How much of rights he gave to the husband. So much so that he said that if I had to order anyone to make sajda to anyone besides Allah Ta'ala, then I would have ordered that they make sajda to the husband. So on the one side is giving rights to the wives, on the one side is giving rights to the other side, the rights to the husbands. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came at a time when the women had absolutely no rights. They were treated as doormats. They were trampled upon. They had nothing, no share in inheritance. They were bargained and traded like how we trade commodities. And people of the world were still discussing whether she is a human being or not. France, Japan and all the other countries, see what they were talking about women at that time. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came and gave them rights. So he imposed upon them also certain responsibilities, obligations and duties. So when both parties are going to fulfill their side of the contract, and I always say that don't go by the book of rights. In marriage you don't go by the book of rights. That at night the husband took out his rights, book of rights, that this is my right, this is my right. Then the wife takes out her list and says, these are my rights. Go by the book of ihsan. You are husband and wife. The husband is hakim and is hakim also. On the one side he's got Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is hakim and he is hakim. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, on the one hand he is commanding, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is ordering that we should make nikah. And then Allah ta'ala is hakim also. He is wise, he knows. So whatever he's ordered is the best for both parties. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, the best amongst you is the person who is the best to his wife. He said, I am the best amongst you to my wife. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he entered the home cheerfully with a smile, with salam. He assisted and helped them in their household cause. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked his wives what they had thought of him, what the opinions were. Look at what beautiful opinions they held of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's character. We'll be discussing the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So therefore this nikah is not to be treated very lightly. It is a serious matter. Serious matter does not mean that you must be serious with the wife. The marriage itself is a serious issue. But then you must not be serious with the wife. With the wife there must be smile, there must be love, there must be affection and kindness. There must be loving, caring and sharing. Then Allah Ta'ala will make that home a jannat on earth. That home will definitely be jannat on earth. Because what is jannat? Where no person causes any other person any injury, any pain, any taklif, any problem, any difficulty, any hardship. And no person has got malice and greed and pride and arrogance in jannat. In jannat it will be ma la aynun ra'at wa la uzunun sami'at wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no thought also has crossed any person's mind. Those kind of ni'mats in jannat. So now when the wife is caring, loving, sharing, considerate, and the husband is also loving, caring, sharing and considerate, so then if that is not going to be jannat on earth, then what is it going to be? So those people who are not experiencing happiness in their marriages, and we are following that same trends of the Western world, 70% statistics, 70% of marriages have failed in France. 70%. As they marry, within a month or two or couple months, the marriage ends. So that is in inverted commas, the barakat of that courting and long-term relationships So that is the end result. People say that Shariat and Islam is very narrow, that you must see the girl once and after that make up your mind and make nikah. How can you get to know the girl in just one looking? So nobody said that you must just have one look and then go and make nikah. After having one look, which Shariat recommends, but after that, it doesn't say now you must go and make nikah. For each and every thing that we do, or in our relationship with people, when we want to find out that how reliable the person is, how credible he is, how trustworthy he is, how good a customer he is going to be, will he pay back whatever he is borrowing, or what goods he is taking. So at that time do we say that first you must befriend me, and I must travel with you, and I must live with you, and I must see you properly, then after that I will transact with you. For a couple of years first I must court you. Does he see that? What does he do? He finds out from the friends of the person, who are the friends of this person, who does he travel around with, where does he spend his time, which joints does he hang around, and what kind of joints is he pulling. He finds out all those things. Thereafter he makes nikah. Thereafter he transacts. So in the same way, for nikah purposes, he saw the girl once and she saw him once. Now after that, find out, use the aqal that Allah Ta'ala has given, the intelligence Allah Ta'ala has given, and the resources Allah Ta'ala has given, and find out more. Thereafter, just as in business there's a risk factor, we say there must be a risk factor in business. So in marriages also there's a risk factor. After doing all the investigations, the person sometimes is still trapped, because that person might be putting up a very pious performance. So that is a risk factor. But generally, if the person goes by Sharia, by the Quran, by the Sunnah, then inshallah that marriage will last. Look at our great grandparents. 50 years, 60 years, 80 years, the old woman was by his side, but they never parted. And they couldn't do without each other. So that was not lust and passion. That was the real muhabbat. In the early days of marriage, we talk about honeymoon and lust and passion and all those things. But after that, the true love shines. So if the husband has treated his wife kindly, properly, nicely, given her her rights, then she will love him throughout her life. And the other way around also, that if the husband has been treated well, he has been cared for, and his rights have been respected, then Allah Ta'ala will put love into his heart also. So it is a two-way street. It is not one-way street. You have to clap with both hands. And wallah, I am telling you that it hurts, really hurts, when we hear of marriages breaking down after a couple of days and a couple of months. Because some party has been doing injustice. They cannot be that both parties are fulfilling the rights and there's happiness, there's muhabbat, and still the marriage breaks down. It doesn't happen like that. So we should not follow those Western trends, because the azab that it brings, and the be-barkati, as we say, that the barkat of those nikahs and marriages and all is taken away, because they don't stay away from each other after the proposal has been put. They communicate, they travel around, they court. And as I say, first they caught, and then the marriage ends up in the court. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to give us a life of happiness, peace, contentment, satisfaction in this world and in the akhirah. So make our marriages simple, make nikahs simple. Let the wedding functions be simple. And now this is another extreme of simplicity, that there's no lunch for you all too. But don't worry, distribute khajuri after Maghrib, you all can come and eat here. Nevertheless, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless this marriage with barakat, unite their hearts with muhabbat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must bless both parties with the tawfiq of fulfilling one another's rights. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his marriages did not affect his spirituality. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his marriages didn't affect, in fact he had more wives than any Muslim is allowed for various reasons. There are whole books written on it, why. And it was not a question of lust or passion. All his marriages took place after the passing away of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And amongst them, the only one was Hazrat Aisha, who was not married previously. The rest were all widows. So Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, there were various reasons. But all those wives, the fulfillment of the rights of those wives, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's height of nubuwat, his closeness to Allah Ta'ala, his miraj, nothing was affected. So it shows that through marriage, through nikah, it's not that the person will lose out on spirituality now. It increases his spirituality because it becomes a protection for him against committing zina. It becomes a protection. Now if we have to discuss the philosophy of marriage, then we can go on and on. But one thing I conclude with, and that is that there is no lack in present time of some kind of information. There is no deficiency. There is plenty of information available of rights of husbands, rights of wives, and many people are attending courses. They are attending courses that are being conducted in different places. But if you have to take statistics, you will find that many of those who attended those courses and many people who are conducting those courses, I'm talking about the world in general and in our country too, many places, because I deal with cases all the time. Those very people are going through crisis in their marriages. Why? After having so much of knowledge, then why this crisis? So the crisis is because there's disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, either on the side of the husband or the side of the wife. Knowing fully well that these are the regulations, these are the masail, and this is what we have to do, and this is what we must abstain from. But we go on headlong, we fall into sins. And when the person falls into sins, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if he wishes to forgive, there's nobody to stop. Allah Ta'ala is merciful, kind, forgiving. But those who don't turn towards him and they continue in that pattern, then they will be committing some other kind of sin, but the effect will be felt in the marriage. Nigahe aqareba badli mizaje dostan badla. Nigahe aqareba badli mizaje dostan badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. If Allah Ta'ala turns away his sight and gaze of maghfirat and rahmat and mercy, then no matter what knowledge we have, and no matter what wealth we have, and no matter what bungalows and palaces that we have, and no matter how many oil wells we own, but Allah Ta'ala will make the person's life restless. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of obedience, that just as we are obeying him in the month of Ramadan, we are staying away from food, drink, and carnal passions and desires from dawn to sunset. In the same way, we obey Allah Ta'ala the rest of our lives also, that we stay away from everything that's forbidden, prohibited. Then we will become the recipients of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, mercy and blessings. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya arhamar rahimin, ya akramal akramin, ya ghiyathal mustaghithin. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most merciful Allah. Oh my most kind, loving, caring, compassionate, beneficent, merciful Allah. Oh my most tolerant Allah, oh my most beautiful Allah. Forgive each and every one of us in this Mubarak day of Ramadan. We are extending our begging bowls before you. Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My beloved Allah, the rains of rahmat which are pouring in this Mubarak month, cause us to be drenched in those rains. My beloved Allah, distance us from everything that is displeasing to you and your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us so much of your love, so much of your muhabbat, and the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it becomes extremely easy for us to make ibadat, to fulfill the rights of everyone. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Unite the hearts of family members. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa. Give them complete shifa from all their ailments, sicknesses and diseases. whether they are in hospitals, in clinics, in homes, or amongst us, bless them with complete shifa. Cures of all our spiritual ailments also. Ya Allah, clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those young boys and girls who are in search of marriage partners, bless them with compatible, pious, righteous marriage partners. Ya Allah, this nikah which took place, accept it. Ya Allah, make it maqbool. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of the husband and wife. Ya Allah, give them muhabbat, give them ulfat, give them the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of one another. Ya Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours. Don't test us in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Oh my beloved Allah, accept our fasting, our zikr, our tilawat, our ibadat, our duas. My beloved Allah, we have to leave this world one day. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, adultery, fornication, popping drugs in our mouths, or any kind of haram action. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with burial in Baqi. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the suffering of mankind around the globe. The conditions of famine, the conditions of drought, the condition of AIDS and so many other sicknesses, my beloved Allah. Remove the problems of mankind. Especially the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is suffering in Palestine, Afghanistan, Iraq, Kashmir, India, Africa and throughout the world. Remove their pain, suffering, difficulties. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. How much he begged for us, how much he asked for us. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless our wives, our children, our family members and the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Allah, you are well aware of the good desires, good wishes, aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand this part of the afternoon, after the nikah. My beloved Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires, good aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardships, the pain, the sicknesses, the diseases, the problems that each and every individual who has raised his or her hand this part of the afternoon in this Mubarak day of Ramadan is suffering or undergoing. With your fazl, with your kindness, with your ihsan, remove those difficulties, pains and problems. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.